And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Sandy Payton.
WNWS 790. Hello again, everyone. We now welcome to our studio Miriam Bosch, the daughter of Orlando Bosch. And the questions continue. Of course, the big question is, Miriam, is this ever going to end? But the question surrounding this, and you were here with me about a year ago, and we were discussing the very same questions, the very same issue. The questions being, well, is your father a hero who gave up a wonderful life in South Florida to battle communism abroad? Is he a terrorist mastermind of the bombing of the Cuban jetliner? Is he just a victim wrongly imprisoned for terrorist acts? Has he given all of that up? Regardless, will he become a quiet, nice, law-abiding citizen if we allow him to remain here? Now, these are the questions, of course, we asked a year ago. We asked them 10 years ago. But certainly a year ago, a year later, we're still asking the question. It is ripping certain portions of the community apart. Is this ever going to be decided?
Well, we've been waiting for a year and a half now, and the decision, which was a parole violation, was decided on May 16th. He was to be released and paroled out into the street. As of right now, my father has no pending charges, except that he entered the country illegally to turn himself in. As far as when it will be decided, we've been trying to decide it for a year and a half, and it's been like an emotional roller coaster for us, and they don't give us any dates or any reasons or anything on a decision as far as my father goes.
You look at the reports that come back and forth and deciding what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And regardless of the specifics, which we'll get into, as many editorials have pointed out, as many of us have pointed out, if your father can indeed be linked to federal crimes, then charge him with whatever it's going to be and let the courts decide. But this uncertain detention is accomplishing nothing one way or another. And I have to sit back and look at this probably more objectively than you can and say, okay, if you want to deport him, then what are you holding it up for? People have been deported much quicker than this for far fewer reasons and far less reasons. What's holding this up to begin with? If you're not going to deport him, what's holding that up?
Well, I think what's holding it up now is a lot of political pressure, because we have a lot of politicians behind us, including Senator Mack and Senator Ross Lehtinen and the state representatives and everybody fighting for us in Washington now, because they believe in the same thing you just said. If there are no charges, then why hold the man? And if there are a terrorist or violent actions that he can be linked to, then why don't they charge him? And the reason is they can't charge him because there aren't any. There is no proof. This country's not going to let a man go and not charge him with terrorist acts if he has committed them.
He has said, however, that his passion against Castro certainly has not waned, but that his strategies would be different now and are different now.
Yes.
But you have to sit back. Again, you can say that. Does he mean it? Does that mean he's just saying it so that he'll be able to stay here? You never know what the truth is from someone with the background of your father. That creates, I think, a realistic doubt in the minds of others.
Well, I think that the fact that his hatred towards Castro will probably never change. I don't think there's any Cuban that believes in anti-communism in this country that will ever have a love of Castro. But the fact that you do not agree with his ways and you publicly state that you hate the man does not mean that you are a terrorist. Whereas what you feel and what you do are two different things. And if my father would have wanted to commit terrorist or violent acts against Castro, he was free everywhere else. He didn't have to turn himself into this country. He could have been a free man in Central America, South America, where all the civil wars are going on. He could have gotten people to back him there. He could have gotten to Europe as a free man. But he didn't, because he did not want to commit these actions. He just wanted to come in here, into this country, and do good on his parole violation and live with his family for the rest of his years.
But at the same, you know, again, you have to go back and forth as this whole issue keeps going back and forth. He's denied any role in the bombing of the Cuban jetliner.
Well, not only has he denied it, but he was tried and acquitted 3 times.
Okay, right. But he's denied any role in it consistently. At the same time, he also has said he approved of the bombing of the Cuban jetliner, that you have to fight violence with violence, he was quoted as saying at one time, and at times you can't avoid hurting innocent people, quote, unquote. So no, I didn't do the bombing, but I certainly approved of it, and I certainly condone violence. If you can't avoid hurting innocent people, sometimes you have to have violence. Now, what does a statement like that mean to those who step back and say, well, what does that mean for the future?
Well, I think a statement like that you can interpret it in many ways. It's just like what happened in China. Those three Chinese boys that burnt the plane. Does it mean a lot of the people, even President Bush, backed up those boys because it was an action done against the communism? It doesn't mean that people that agree with it are terrorists. It just means that sometimes in countries, you have to do certain things to liberate your country, to fight for your freedom, for your rights. And we even fight other people's wars. I mean, if there was anybody in this country that could honestly come up to me and tell me I, as an American, would not fight for my country or would not try to free my country if it was taken by Russia, I think they would be considered unpatriotic. I think people would turn their backs on them. And just because my father doesn't, or the statement says that he does not condemn violence everywhere in the world, it doesn't mean that he is going to participate in any of it. It doesn't mean that he wants to do it, that he has any desire to do that.
But still, from the reports that are coming out now, in spending the 11 years in prison in Venezuela, as late as 1984, so we're not talking too long ago, according to the Justice Department, your father was still contacting other terrorists and encouraging new acts of violence from his prison cell.
That is absolutely a lie. We had in our parole commission hearing Agent Kaczynski, and he's the expert, he's an FBI agent, expert on terrorism in this part of the country, and it is on paper and it is on tape that Agent Kaczynski has been following my father since 1976, the arrest for the airplane incident, and that they have not found one thing to link him to any terrorist or to any terrorist actions, and that is testified under oath. So what the Justice Department has put on this paper that it's released as for the basis for their decision is a lie. It is not true.
Why is the Justice Department lying?
I think there's a lot of pressure from Cuba. I think there's a lot of pressure for the interchange of Mariel prisoners. There's a lot of pressure to try to get information from Ochoa and from General Ochoa's situation with Cuba. And I think that this country is selling my father out because Castro wants my father badly. He wants to kill him. And he said it. And we have death sentences on paper for that. And the two diplomats that came into this country...
Well, he could kill him in this country as well as anywhere else.
He could, but he doesn't want any problems with this country.
He could have him killed and go try and point out that it was Castro. Go prove that.
It's much harder to kill my father in the United States than it is to kill him in Central and South America or some third world country where nobody will ever find him.
Why? I mean, realistically, why? It could be made to look like a drug killing. It could be made to look like any number of things that you'd never be able to prove Castro was behind.
But you could prove it was behind because everybody knows that he's the one that wants to kill my father. You could never trace my father to a drug killing.
Okay, so say we deport him. But they had promised not to send him to Cuba, so they sent him somewhere else, and your father, heaven forbid, is killed in that country. We still were responsible for letting him go. We could still say it was Castro was behind it. The same break in relations could occur. You understand? So I'm wondering what the Justice Department really has to gain here.
Well,
if what you say is true, that they're lying in their report about your father's activities.
Well, they don't have any facts to substantiate any of this. They don't have any letters that they accuse him of writing, broadcasts that they accuse him of saying over the radio. Where are they? They don't have any of this. And most of the information from this, of what they call, quote, confidential information, is from the Granma 1980 publication of the Communist paper in Cuba, which are allegations made by Castro publicly and afterwards condemning my father to death. And that is what this country is giving credibility to and considering their confidential information, and that is the basis for deporting my father.
You know, I'm wondering, though, is this, not in your life, certainly, but is this the big issue that the media, for example, have played it up to be? There were some quotes in the paper by some well-known people in the Cuban community that said basically, and you probably read it yourself, that this is really not much of a discussion in the Cuban community, that the flag is a bigger issue, Claude Pepper was a bigger issue, that you really don't hear Orlando Bosch being discussed on the streets in, say, Little Havana or what have you. So is it the media issue, or is it a real issue in the Cuban community today?
I think it's a real issue. I don't think that's true. I think that, at least wherever I go, people that recognize me from being on the media, everybody sympathizes with us. You know, they empathize with us. Everybody has something to say about my father's situation. If you walk down 8th Street or Flagler Street when the Cubans are having their coffee, everybody's talking about it. And this is not what's affecting them. This is not just against my father. This is really a slap in the face to all Cubans, because any one of them could be next. Because we just can't conceive that in this country they could hold a man without any pending charges and not release him and give him a lifelong sentence.
Well, going back to the Justice Department for just a moment, because that's really what's allegedly holding everything up. The report is very detailed.
Yes.
And it's also alarming. You say it's not true, okay, but I'm not sure whether it's true or not. Department intelligence, it concludes, compiled from FBI, CIA, and State Department intelligence, it concludes that your father and his organization, KORU, were involved in attempted assassinations of diplomats, attempted kidnappings, numerous bombings of foreign ships and of the Mexican embassy in Guatemala City. It also said the destruction of the Cuban airliner was done under your father's direction. Now, this is the Justice Department report. So you look at it and say, you say it's lying. How would I know if it's lying, or the average person know that they're lying? And you sit back and say, well, wait a minute, then, whether or not you can actually pinpoint him and say he did it, if he was the mastermind of many of these things and still says he approves of the things that he said he had no part of, how safe are we in letting him loose in the community?
Well, first of all, my father has not approved of any of those bombings or any of those attempted kidnappings, number one. Number two, I have gone through these 18 pieces of paper with my father, and my father has absolutely had nothing to do with any of them. Number three, if the Justice Department is in a better position to judge my father's case than five tribunal courts in Venezuela for 11 years that found him not guilty and acquitted him, including military court, civil court, and upheld by the Supreme Court. If this country's Justice Department is in a better position to try him for that airline case, then why didn't they? He was tried over there in Venezuela, and he was found not guilty over and over again for the same crime. And I think that they're in a better position to judge him than the Justice Department here.
I was just handed something, and I don't know what this is yet. It said, was hand-delivered here. It said, read the info before 1 p.m. to me. It's from the U.S. Department of Justice Immigration and Naturalization Service. This official document was received from the U.S. Justice Department, INS, and the recipient's name was excised for their protection. So I don't know who it was sent to, but it's on U.S. Department of Justice stationery. I'll tell you what. We'll take a break. I'll glance through it and see what it is. 790 WNWS.
Welcome to First Nationwide Bank, sir. May I help you?
Yes, I'd like to open a 6-month CD, please.
Mr. Phil Armstrong of West Palm Beach, Florida, you rate a raise.
What'd I do?
It's our scratch and discover bonus, sir. Just scratch this card.
There's the card, huh? Okay.
And whatever bonus amount shows will add to our already high rate.
Oh, hey, it says 0.5%. Oh.
That means, Mr. Armstrong, just for opening a 6-month CD with First Nationwide Bank,
yeah,
we award you a bonus rate of 0.5% over our already high rate.
0.5% more, huh? Boy, can anybody do this?
Absolutely anyone, sir.
You know, you should advertise this. It could catch on.
Oh, we do hope so, sir.
Now, who will be next to rate a raise?
Offer ends soon. No purchase necessary to receive a bonus card. One card per customer per day. $10,000 minimum deposit required. First Nationwide Bank is a federal savings bank and a wholly owned subsidiary of Ford Motor Company.
Hear news as it happens. AM 790, WNWS, we've got all you need to know.
Win big at the Buick Open. Take home a purse of $180,000 without swinging a club in the Silver Anniversary Buick Open Sweepstakes. Register now through July 31st, 1989 at your participating Buick dealer. You could win one of many prizes, including the grand prize of $180,000 cash. Now's your chance to be on a par with the pros. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Must be a licensed driver 18 years or older. See participating dealer for details.
Dick, what are we doing at a Farmore grand opening?
I want to check out their great prices.
Their prices can't be that great. Let's go golfing.
Listen, I'll just be a moment. I'll be right back.
Ah,
Unbelievable!
Jim, what is it?
Look at the low price on this shampoo.
Yeah, shh.
What I paid for it?
At Farmore, you can save up to 50%.
This must be 50% less.
Right.
Is this just for the grand opening?
No, no. See, Farmore has great prices on housewares, cosmetics, automotive supplies, all kinds of stuff every day.
How do you guys do it?
Jim, please. It's something called power buying. Farmore only buys when they get a terrific deal.
Yeah?
Then they buy in tremendous quantities and pass the savings on to us, and that gives us buying power.
Unbelievable!
Jim, please.
Look at these pantyhose. You know what Myrna pays for pantyhose?
Jim, you're embarrassing me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad.
Okay, I'll just get my stuff and we can leave.
I'm never leaving.
What?
Unbelievable! Look at this!
Power buying saves you far more.
Farmore's 9th area location opens this Wednesday at University Drive and Wiles Road in Coral Springs.
Ford Shades and Draperies, in business here for 40 years. Now that says something. I'm sorry, that says something right there. They do it right. They do it honestly. They work with you from beginning to end for any and all of your window and door treatment needs. They are the manufacturers and distributors. They do everything to your specifications, and I mean your specifications. Levalor, Kirsch Drapery Hardware, the popular Soji screens, plus custom-made all-wood interior shutters to enhance the beauty of your whole house, including drapery in all fabrics and styles imaginable. Balloon shades, Roman shades, Bahama shutters, the California shutters, and everything else. And Ford is definitely a name you can trust. They service what they sell. They have supplied the ultimate in window treatments throughout South Florida for over 40 years. And you go in there, tell them Sandy Payton sent you in. They'll give you a special discount of 20% off anything you are purchasing. Also ask about their very easy payment plan. They'll work out a plan that's easy for you. That's what makes it easy if you don't want to give them a lump sum or anything. And they have a number of locations in showrooms and factories in North Miami, South Dixie Highway in Southwest Miami, and Fort Lauderdale. Also, they'll be happy to come to your home or office, give you a free, no-obligation estimate on any of your choices of decorative improvements. You call them today. 949-7416 in Dade. That's 949-7416 in Broward. 742-3303. 742-3303. Ford Shades and Draperies. Sandy Payton with Miriam Bosch. A couple of lines are available in Broward. 389-8255. And I'm coming right to the phones. But what this was, it was hand delivered. There's no name on it. It said the name of the recipient was excluded for their protection. So it's a letter from the U.S. Department of Justice Immigration and Naturalization Service, but it's a year old. It's from June 88. This was about the fact that the INS had taken custody of your father from the U.S. Marshals Service.
Right.
And why. So I guess the delivery was for the background, which I already knew, that Koru, your father's group, had been responsible, as alleged by the Justice Department, for more than 50 bombings in Miami, New York, Venezuela, Panama, Mexico, Argentina, and then the other things we've already discussed. So that's what this is. Old news, but really not old news, but this paper is a year old. All right, we go. You'll have to use the headphones to hear the callers. We'll go to Miami. You're on WNWS. Hello.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you? Good afternoon, right?
Yes.
How are you?
Okay,
good
thanks.
To have you back.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment or two on the Bosch issue and ask you, ask her a question. And first I'll ask the question. Don't you believe that Dr. Bosch made a mistake that when he was asked by the Immigration Department if he would ever involve himself in terrorist acts, he answered, not in the United States. Don't you think that we should draw an impression on that? That he might involve himself in terrorist acts outside the United States and what have you?
My father's statement was that he disavowed violence in the United States and promised to abide by the laws of the United States. I think what they're putting down there is a play on words. If he agrees to abide by the laws of the United States, then he cannot commit any kind of violent or terrorist acts outside of the United States, or he would be breaking the laws. This is just another method for the Justice Department to play on words and try to make him look like a terrorist.
What
is not.
Did he ever follow it up by saying, all right, if you misunderstood me, I meant no terrorist acts ever again in my life?
We have asked for a hearing to say that. I've spoken to my father about it, and he thinks it's ridiculous. He says, how in the world can I disavow violence here and not outside of the United States? He does not agree with violence anywhere in the world.
But how does he match that up with what I quoted before, that he did say you have to fight violence with violence? At times you can't avoid hurting innocent people.
Well, that, Sandy, he might have said that, okay, and I don't know when he said that. Do you know when he said that?
Well, when he denied any role in the bombing of the Cuban jetliner. Now, he's done that many times. When he made this particular quote, I don't know.
All right.
Okay, I think those statements that you're quoting from are statements that were made in the early 60s.
Oh, really?
If I'm not mistaken, number one. Number two, it doesn't mean, because of the way you feel or the way you think or things happening in other countries in the world, because you agree or don't disagree with their civil wars, or you agree with what's going on in Israel or what isn't, or in Iran or what isn't, or in China, or if you don't agree, it doesn't mean that you are a terrorist. You have, or that's one of the things this country offers. You have a right to your freedom of thinking, and they cannot charge you and put you in jail for that.
When your thinking turns into action, it's no more freedom of thinking. It's taking the law in your own hands.
Absolutely.
And its restrictions of the law. When you believe in this country, you should follow the laws, abide by the laws and the restrictions, which I personally do not believe your father did. I do admire your protecting him also because you are his daughter. And I also admire your brother for what he did. But your father himself should be man enough that if he did these things, which I definitely believe he did, he should be able to face up for what he knew was coming. If I went into terrorist acts, all right, of any kind, I would have to expect the music after that, what's going to hit me. And he should be a man enough to accept these things.
The only thing
that I get very angry at, there's another question I want to ask you. Why did the bombing stop after your father was put away? I just wanted to know that.
What do you mean, why did the bombing stop?
All the terrorist acts that were due, where he was accused of, and particularly him.
Which acts are you talking about?
Well, I haven't got the list of them right here. I could have.
Well, there have been a number of bombings right here in South Florida since he was in prison, so I don't know what that means.
So I don't know. I really admire you for it, but I think that once in a while we all have to face what our parents or what even in the name of justice, what we think he did right. But he did not do right. He killed people.
Who did he kill?
Well,
he has not been charged with killing anybody.
I know, but between you and me, I would say that he did. All right? And this is my own private opinion.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
That opens a line in Dade, 379-8255, and in Broward, 389-8255. Miami on WNWS. Hello.
Hey, Sandy, how you doing?
Fine.
Man, I can understand why you're defending your father, but I want to ask you a few questions. Might be a little antagonistic.
Okay.
Was he not convicted for firing a recoilless rifle at the Polish ship at the dock in Miami?
Yes, he was in 1968.
Okay, now, is it true he's excludable immediately from the United States for being a convicted felon?
I don't know the law.
All right, well, that's what the law is. Also, I want to bring up one point. During the Bay of Pigs, what was your father's connection with the CIA? And afterwards, how long was he on the payroll of the CIA?
My father, I don't think, had anything to do with the Bay of Pigs. He was working with the CIA when he first entered this country. And that's as far as I can tell you about that.
Well, see, that's what I mean. You can't tell me anything more about it. I think basically what the struggle is here is the CIA and the Justice Department fighting over an ex-employee of the CIA being kept in the country, being shipped out. I don't think Castro really worries about your father. I think your father's a speck on an elephant as far as Castro is concerned. But I think the government of the United States has an internal struggle between the CIA and the Justice Department and the Immigration Service about deporting somebody who worked for the CIA during the early 60s.
Well, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, but you should ask your father that. I wouldn't be surprised that he was on a payroll for at least...
Well, but if he was, would he tell her? Would he tell it publicly?
Well, that's what I meant. Marion is saying you're defending something. She doesn't even know what her father was up to.
No, I'm defending the acts that the Justice Department has written to us as an answer on why they want to deport him. I'm defending that because they are allegations, and most of them are from a communist paper. Those are not real acts. My father had nothing to do with them.
Yeah,
and if he did, where is it? Where's the proof?
What I'm trying to tell you, Marion, is... if he was convicted for firing the recoilless rifle, he is excludable with no questions asked, kicked out of the country immediately for being a convicted felon.
Right, but he violated his parole, so he came back into this country last year to do good on his parole violation.
Well, that's the way I see the story.
Should he have stayed out and not come back ever to do his parole?
I think he should make his request, and if they accept him, fine. And if they deport him, he's deported. That's it. All this marching and all this stuff isn't the point.
The point is the laws
of the United States are being violated.
Don't you agree that let's do one thing or the other already?
No, definitely. I say the man should be deported.
This is nuts.
He's a convicted felon.
This is absolutely nuts how long it's taking. Right. Thank you very much. Miami on WNWS. Hello.
Hello, Sandy.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, thanks.
I get so disgusted and angry at people that do wrong. And they talk about this government of being so mean, they don't know what they're doing, but yet they live in this country and do what this man has done. Why did he spend 11 years in prison?
Why did he spend...
Venezuela.
Why? Because he was set up by that government.
He's probably set up here, too, huh?
Ma'am, he was tried by three different courts in Venezuela.
Why did he skip out of here and leave? He knew when he came back in here that he thought he'd have such support among his followers that they could go to Washington and get him out of this.
He didn't know any of this, ma'am. He came in to do his parole.
As well as I do, that he should be deported.
No, ma'am, he shouldn't.
He wants to go to some other country because you can't do in other countries what you can do in this country, and yet the people don't appreciate it when they come in here.
Don't you believe you're innocent until proven guilty?
Well, he's done already, Ben. You know that.
There are no charges.
Of what he has done.
There are no charges against him, ma'am.
You don't know what your father has done.
I do know that he has not done any of these allegations because
sure.
I have asked him.
Oh, I know.
All right,
know.
Thank you very much. Deep in your heart, though, obviously it's your father. Obviously you're fighting for your father. But have you ever asked yourself, or even would it matter, I don't know, but have you ever asked yourself, if my father has done all of these things, would he tell me anyway?
I think he would tell me, Sandy, and it would matter to me because I don't believe in violence and I don't believe in terrorist acts.
You really believe he'd tell you?
I really believe he would. When I asked him these questions on these 18 pages, I really believe my father would tell me because he knows that if anybody had to stick up for him, it was me, and I had to know what really happened. And I don't think my father would lie to me. And I myself am not one for terrorism, and I do not think he is a terrorist.
How would you describe him?
I think my father is someone that, out of desperation and frustration, fought and did everything that he could for his country in the early 60s. And I think a lot of it was backed by this government. A lot of them were American planes, the CIA, a lot of people were involved in that. It wasn't just my father. And I think that when he realized finally, when the United States government backed up and said, well, we can't help you anymore after the Bay of Pigs, you know, then my father found himself in a desperate situation where he just couldn't let his country go to the communists. And then he used a recoilless rifle.
But we have many terrorist groups who say the same thing. I'm just fighting for the freedom of my people.
But the thing is, Sandy, that my father did his time for what he did in 1968. He did 4 years. And he came back into this country and did 3 months, which is all they asked him to do. How many times do we have to try him for the same crime? Because the Justice Department wants the media to make it look like he's a terrorist and puts all these allegations? I can accuse you of doing a million things to me. But it doesn't mean that they're true. We have a justice system in this country. We have courts that we have to go to. We have to be proven guilty.
And we'll be back. 790 WNWS. Sandy Payton, along with Miriam Bosch, the daughter of Orlando Bosch. One line is available. It's in Broward, 389-8255. We go to a mobile caller on WNWS. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Sandy, this is Jordan. I have one question. The last thing I heard of Bosch's statements publicly was he's a patriot and always will be a patriot of his country. Now, what country is that? Of America, whether he wants asylum, that he wants to live in, that his children want to grow up in? Or is it of Cuba, which is a foreign country? From my standpoint, it's a foreign country. Where is he a patriot of? Where is his allegiance?
He's a patriot, obviously, of Cuba. And it doesn't mean that he does not love this country. Obviously, he does. He wants to live here. He's asking this country.
No, obviously, he wants the convenience of America and to be a patriot of Cuba.
I don't understand what you're saying. Do you want him to be a patriot? How can he be a patriot of this country if he's been here for so little years?
It's very easy. People arrived here on their first day and became patriots of America. They did not ask for America to give them anything that they could not scratch out of the earth themselves.
He's not asking for anything. He's only asking for political asylum.
But he says he's a patriot of his country.
Is that bad?
What country is that?
Is that bad or is this
bad unless he defines what country
is? Technically, Miriam, when you become a citizen of this country, you pledge allegiance to the United States.
When you decide to abide here without being a citizen for your life, you also have to be a patriot of this country.
I think if this country would accept my father as a citizen, he will also pledge to it. At this moment, my father is only asking for political asylum because of the situation.
Political asylum. Let him apply for citizenship
and be bound by all laws, all of us are, including the lack of right to tolerate or create diversions and interceptions, et cetera, in foreign nations.
All right, thank you. We go to Miami Beach on WNWS. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon. Ms. Bosch, did your father do time for shooting at the Polish freighter?
Yes, he did, sir, 4 years.
Don't you think it's an irony today that George Bush offered $100 million to the Polish government? Don't you feel you've been had a little bit by the Bush-Reagan people?
Well, I think a lot of things that are going on are an irony, but there's not really much I can do about it. All I can do is bring it to the attention of the people and hope that people will understand my father's situation and understand that he hasn't been charged with anything.
Well, do you understand our situation, too? By us, I mean all of us in this country, including you, I hope. And I know that you're the daughter, and I have sympathy for your position and the love you have for your father and the fact that you certainly obviously have implicit belief in him. I am not a member of your family, and I only know what I know by the papers and, you know, the general trends in the community. But I have witnessed, for example, with Mr. Milan's legs being blown off, that terrorists in this country, especially with a Cuban kind of mentality, have done a lot of cowardly deeds and have imported more violence to this country than Castro could have. And so, unfortunately, your father's being lumped into a whole cloth of violence. I have a feeling that he is a bit culpable indeed, if not more so, that he has a certain mindset and vendetta. But these vendettas are ruining the United States and not helping your adopted country. You see, you're not going to get Castro by blowing athletes out of the sky. You say your father was not guilty of that. I agree. I will accept what you say.
Or other groups blowing up museums because they don't like the art. We can go on and on.
Or keeping singers out of this country because they happen to entertain Castro, at one point shook his hand or perhaps saw a photograph of him. I mean, it's getting to hysterical proportions to this point where people who are born and raised in this country and also came in as immigrants, too. I mean, all of us collectively came here unless we were an American Indian. So we all have equal rights as citizens. We are all part of this melting pot. But I don't remember any other group carrying a vendetta for 30 years and using this country for a launch pad. I'm not indicting you, believe me, but I feel such frustration. I've seen you. You seem rational. You're intelligent and attractive, and you seem to be straddling both cultures, the Cuban mindset from 30 years ago and trying to get into this modern way of thinking, or this fact that we've got to get on with our lives and bringing the United States together and not trying to get Castro 30 years after the fact. Can your father grasp that fact, that there are more important things in this world than his vendetta? We've got starving people in this country.
My father has already said when he first came into this country that he pledges to abide by all the laws of this country. And I think that the statement that you said, can we forget 30 years later, I think all of us that live in a free country like the United States, and I am a United States citizen and I love this country and I will go to war for this country if asked to, I think people that live in freedom take democracy for granted. And if your country would have been taken away, doesn't mean you have to keep thinking 30 years later, oh, let me kill this man to get him out. But I don't think you ever forget. I don't think that's ever taken away from you.
He's not saying forget.
Well, you say go to war for your country. What I'm getting at is let's go to peace for our country for a change. We're not getting anywhere. We're at cross purposes. We have polarized this community, Cuban against Cuban, Anglo against Cuban, Anglo against... I mean, it has been a mess since I have been here, and I've been here for 15 years, and I see it just getting worse and worse and worse with these comic book heroics and vendettas and shooting swamps and alligators in the swamps for the eventuality of entering Havana. I mean, I don't see it. You know it's not going to happen. You know the State Department is making eyes at Castro. God knows what the collusion has been and has been and will be. I mean, there are all kinds of unseen cords and wires between this government and governments around the world that you and I don't know about, and a lot of people like your father get played for suckers because they're blindly patriotic, and that blindness is what's costing us our freedom in this country because we're losing our perspective about what's really necessary here.
Amen. This is an excellent call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Bosch, and believe me, I'm on your side as far as loving your father is concerned, but, you know, my country is my country, and violence is violence.
And we go to West Miami on WNWS. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I have a suggestion to a request. I don't want the... My father is aged and old and sick used anymore. I'm 82 years old. I can pick up this phone again right now and have three fellows from Chicago come down here and eliminate anybody.
Really? I know a few people. That's good.
Right.
Leave your name and number.
I have the privilege, but I do want to say, though, that there is a, there's got to be some kind of example set, and unfortunately it is her father. We just got to start deporting people. In the old days up in Chicago, for example, nothing scared criminals. I used to be a air taxi pilot, and I used to fly the top mafia guys out of Cicero, all over. And I spent time with them, of course, and this and that. I was never involved in their rackets. But nothing worried them. Joliet jail didn't worry them. Prison didn't worry them. Deportation did. And when they got rid of two or three guys up there, Lucky Luciano and so forth, you wouldn't believe it. We got to have it here. This is nonsense.
Why should he be deported?
A very, very bad example. You and Ileana Ross Dayton are just terrible examples for your people. You're going to hurt your own people much more than the Americans.
All right, thank you. Of course, the point that he was indirect about, but the point being, we give a lot of speeches in this country, at least our president does and our high officials do, about we are no longer going to allow terrorists to frighten us and we're going to be on the offensive, not the defensive, and terrorists will not get away with anything anymore. And then the question being where your father's concerned is, how could we excuse an Orlando Bosch and at the same time ever again renounce an Iran or a Libya or a Syria when they do violence or they commit a terrorist act if we admit that we do it ourselves, but it's okay, you can stay here?
Sandy,
what message is that?
That's fine, except when you accuse someone of being a terrorist, you have to accuse him of his terrorist acts. There have been no charges. My father has, yeah, there's allegations that they write, but where are they? Why haven't they charged him with it? If he is a terrorist, then okay, deport him. But where are the terrorist acts?
The Justice Department comes forward with this whole mass of allegations, and that's what they are, as you say, at this point. And they're putting all of these accusations on your father's head, saying he was responsible for all the things we've discussed in the first half hour since you've been here. Okay, you have this report. File the charges already. Do something.
That's what we want them to do. File the charge. Where are the charges? But they don't have any. They contradict themselves. At one point, one FBI agent says he's been linked to nothing having to do with violence. Then we go to court and another FBI agent says, who has nothing to do with terrorism in this part of the country, that there's 711 pages of confidential information. They can't even get themselves together. Now, I'm not fighting here because I'm Cuban or American or a patriot of Cuba or America. I'm fighting for the justice system of this country, which I believe in, which is you're innocent until proven guilty. And unless someone shows me or charges him with these acts, then why keep calling him a terrorist? Why keep blowing it up in the media so that's all people remember him by?
We go to Fort Lauderdale on WNWS. Hello.
Good afternoon, Sandy. Miss Bosch?
Yes?
Please believe me, we all have sympathy for your position, but you just made a statement. Your father was convicted of a terroristic attack.
Yes, he was, 1968.
Right. And he served four years in jail, and he was paroled, am I correct?
Yes,
right.
Sir.
When he left this country, he broke his parole.
Right.
Yes, sir.
That makes him technically deportable. Now, I don't know whether you understand the law.
I do understand what you're telling me.
Okay, but just a minute. I want to go beyond that.
Okay.
Your father and many of your father's compatriots, the Cubans, have to understand to overturn or take back a government can never be done from without. It must be done from within. You're not going to do it in Cuba. You're not going to do it in Nicaragua. It's got to come from within. Fidel Castro proved that, okay? Now, when the Bay of Pigs occurred way back in 1961 or 62, whatever year that was, how many Cubans supported the unfortunate 700 men that went floated in on this flotilla? How many Cubans went to the support of the people who were going back there to liberate Cuba? People in Cuba are happy with their government. Yes, there are some that want to get out for economic reasons, and that's it. What would you say to that?
I want to know what that has to do with the issue of my father.
Well, very simple, because I said that your father is a convicted terrorist.
And
he's deportable under the law.
But he came in here only to do his parole violation, and we're asking this country simply for political asylum, because if my father is deported, as has been stated publicly many times and on paper by Castro, he will be killed immediately.
Well, nobody's going to support him to
send them to deport them to Cuba.
I'm not talking about Cuba, sir. I'm talking about anywhere in the world.
Well, he was in Venezuela for 7 or 11 years. Nobody killed him there.
He was in jail under maximum security. They needed two guards with different keys just to get into his cell.
Is that right?
You
know that for a fact.
Absolutely. And when he was released 11 years later, my father, the Venezuelan government, had to give him 6 bodyguards to be with him until they got his documentation straight and put him in on a plane for this country, because there were people waiting to kill him. And that I know for a fact.
Well, you know, there's an old American expression, you make your bed and you have to lie in it.
But he did his time, sir. He did.
No, he didn't do his time. He broke the law.
He did his time for breaking the law in 1968. He did 4 years.
But he broke the law, and he violated parole. There's 2 counts right there.
And he did 3 months. All they gave him was 3 months when he came back into this country for his parole violation. How many times is he going to be tried for the same thing?
But he's deportable. He is now an alien.
He is deportable, but all we're asking is for political asylum for his life.
In other words, you want to make... The law goes for everybody except your father.
No, sir. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying
right,
if there's a threat to your life...
Nobody wants to see your family broken up. Certainly not me. But I think this has to be, and I hate to be very, I hate to pontificate, but a lesson has to be set up somewhere.
All right,
and
thank you.
I think this is it.
Thank you. That opens a line in Broward, 389-8255. Directly back to you, Sandy Payton on 790 WNWS. Sandy Payton with Miriam Bosch. One line available. It's in Broward, 389-8255. Hialeah on WNWS. Hello.
Hi, Sandy.
Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to make several points and hear Ms. Bosch reply. I am convinced personally that Mr. Bosch has been involved in several terrorist activities. Certainly he was convicted of firing the bazooka at the Polish freighter, which I still don't understand why. He was driving explosives and torpedoes through Coral Gables twice, even though he was not prosecuted. He was, you know, prosecution was withheld. He was driving around with explosives. If he wasn't involved with terrorist acts, as Mrs. Bosch says, why was he driving around with explosives? Also, I look at the chronology that I got from the Herald, and it seems that the only time you can't really associate him with a terrorist activity is when he's been in jail. And that looks very suspicious.
Well, no, because the Justice Department said that he was encouraging acts of violence from the prison cell, but this is all part of the same justice report.
So it wasn't hands-on, but he was, you know, leading people to do it.
But now Miriam says that the report's a lie. So...
Well, I also have to point out to Miriam, you know, she keeps asking that he hasn't been tried and convicted of all these allegations. She must know...
I said charged.
Charged. Under immigration law, he does not have to be charged with these things. He does not have to be convicted or go to trial for any of these things. A strong evidence that he has been involved in terrorist activities, and there's fact to that. I mean, he was caught driving around with explosives.
I understand the immigration law, but is that justice? Is that justice for a man whom they know that the minute he's deported is going to be killed?
Well,
this is a country of compassion. This is a country of forgiving people for their past deeds. Once you do your jail time, that's it. You shouldn't be tried and try the family emotionally over and over again for the same thing.
Well, the thing is, I don't want to try him again.
But you are. You said you were personally thought that he had done all these things. How can you personally think them if you have not heard any evidence, if there's no charges against him?
Evidence. Are you saying did he not try to murder Polish sailors with a bazooka and failed?
Absolutely not. That was a recoilless rifle. It was done.
Say it's a bazooka.
It was a recoilless rifle.
It's a bazooka.
It's in the Justice Department's report. You can call it whatever you want. I'm calling it what the Justice Department calls it.
Oh, it was a bazooka.
It's right here.
He fired a bazooka at a Polish freighter. It bounced off the hull, and then he says, well, I didn't really want to hurt anybody. I knew there wasn't anybody here. I didn't know there was anybody there.
That's exactly what happened.
Right.
You can believe whatever you want, but that is what happened. That is what was testified in court.
I'll give him the benefit
of the doubt. Has anyone questioned?
I don't know why, but Ms. Bush, he has violated the trust of this country. He came here as an immigrant, as many other Cubans have, and we opened up our doors, and he violated that trust. He drove around with explosives in his trunk through crowded areas in Coral Gables.
He
did. Less if it blew up.
He did. He did his time for what he did.
But he has violated our trust. He has proved that he cannot live within the laws of our society.
He has not proved that.
He disavows that he's going to do terrorism anymore. But if Ted Bundy said, I'm not going to murder anybody anymore, did we let him out?
Ted Bundy murdered people. My father has never killed anybody.
He does not deny it. In the Herald, he is quoted several times as saying, I never hurt any innocent people.
My father has never hurt anybody.
But that he did not hurt innocent people. And the allegations are very strong. I don't know about the justice report that you have quotes here and there. I'm saying that he's got a chronology that ties him to terrorist groups and activities and the bazooka and the explosives. And I say he's going around saying, I didn't hurt anybody innocent. But
No.
He doesn't say he didn't hurt anybody at all.
No. My father says he has never hurt anybody.
That
and you can believe
says at all.
You can believe what you want of the Herald if you want to believe everything the Herald
that
says.
It quoted your father.
It's not a quote of my father's. I'm telling you, it is not.
It says, Orlando Bosch says, I never hurt anybody innocent. I mean, that's pretty black and white. I never hurt anybody innocent. And this is my question. Because there are a lot of people out there who believe he has been involved with these things. If your father's telling the truth, he never hurt anybody innocent, who the hell made him judge?
Who made you judge?
Who made him judge over who's innocent? Because the American people will not be red-baited anymore.
All right, thank you. Thank you. We go to Miami on WNWS. Hello.
Yes, me?
You.
Bosch is supposed to have been a Cuban patriot. Since the turn of the century, the United States was involved in four major wars, Korea, Vietnam. Can you tell me in which one of these wars the Cubans were allies to the United States?
What does that have to do with the issue of my father?
The answer is patriotism. I'm talking about when he lived in Cuba under Batista and Prio and everybody else. How patriotic were the Cubans?
I don't think...
In other words, never did the Cuban people, P-E-O-P-L-E, ever support the United States in our hour of need?
All right, well, regardless of how you feel about Orlando Bosch, yeah. Why would he now receive the blame for all of that?
I don't give him the... Now, because he is shrouding himself in a flag of being a patriot. There's no such thing as a Cuban patriot. Even in Cuba, these people are selfish...
Every single one of them. Every single one of them.
The people who supported those governments and ate high on the hog... Well, me and my family were
not
dying
one
in
Cuban
war.
Patriot in all of Cuba.
There were good Germans in the Nazis too. There were good Nazis. You know that?
I don't understand this at all. Miami on WNWS. Hello.
Mr. Bosch's daughter. I really share in your grief. I'm a black person, and I really I'm sorry what was happening to your father, but unfortunately. Your father, the United States, they got two type of justices, two types of justice. It's justice for them and it's justice for other people. Unfortunately, your father was used, and now he has to pay the price. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, look, the United States is now taking sides with Russia. They're about to merge together.
We're about to merge together?
They're about to merge together. Isn't
with
this
who?
What Reagan's been talking about?
They're
working together now.
Well, we're trying to, yes, cooperate more. That doesn't mean we're suddenly going to become one country, sir.
Unfortunately, you notice Gorbachev just left Cuba and all of the changes that's been going on.
Uh-huh.
The United States has been trying to deal with the drug issue.
Right.
Through Gorbachev and the United States, they're applying pressure on the Cubans. The Cubans
uh-huh.
have been very influential here in South Florida. It is officially over.
What is officially over? Their influence?
The clout of the Cubans. The Cubans have been used, the Americans, the Europeans have used everybody on this face of this earth. If you help them, you're protected. If you go against them, you're in trouble. And now the Nazis are in charge.
Now we got the Nazis back in charge. Boy, he just goes all over the place, as usual. Miriam, I know a year ago we had a very similar conversation.
Yes.
One way or another... I hope we don't have this conversation a year from now, because I am sick of the division that this just adds to the division in this community. And one way or another, the federal government has got to put up or shut up and get this thing over with, because this is horrendous.
That's all we're asking for, Sandy.
Horrendous. Well, I'm sure it isn't, because if they decide to deport him, that is not all you're asking for. But my concern is, let's just get this over with one way or the other.
Well, if they decide to deport him, then they must have charges. And if they have charges, well... then there's nothing I can do. Then they're going by the laws of this country.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
I thank all of you for being here. I hope you're with me every weekday, 10 to 2 on the Sandy Payton program. Stay tuned for Mike Thompson filling in for the Vacationing Hour Rantel. Until tomorrow, you have a wonderful day, and be sure and make the most of it.